I came to St Alfred's in 1992 as a student minister, and Kieran and his family had been members of St Alfred's, we think, for a couple of years at that stage. But one of my earliest memories of meeting Kieran was when I visited the Carr family in Manila, where they'd gone to be missionaries. And Kieran was just a young boy at the time. This must have been around early 1993, and he was just a young boy, as you can imagine, if you take about 20 years off his present age. Kieran has had a long history at St Alfred's, and no doubt there'll be people here tonight who've known him even longer than I have. How did he come to be a member of our staff team, you might wonder? Well, by the time that I came back to be the senior minister of St Alfred's in September 2000, Kieran had returned to Australia to finish his secondary schooling, and over the next couple of years, God began to stir inside Kieran a desire to serve in ministry. And so he applied to become a ministry trainee here at St Alfred's. We accepted his application, and he began as a ministry trainee in early 2003, working under the supervision of one of my then associate ministers, Reverend Andrew Harper, and working alongside two other trainees, Rachel Gisbers and Bruce McIntosh. And when someone is a trainee or a student minister, we write some sort of agreement with them to try and clarify what it is they're trying to learn and what we can offer in terms of supervision. Something like, it's called a learning agreement. So Kieran had to write a learning agreement back in those days of 2003. And one of the questions that Kieran was asked as part of this learning agreement was, what did he want to learn in regard to the Bible and theology? Now, his response, which I have in writing, was this. He won't remember this, but he said as he began his traineeship at the ripe old age of about, 19, he said, I want to understand the Trinity, grace, justification by faith, predestination, sin, gifts of the Spirit, everything, capital letters, 3 exclamation marks. Now, Kieran, I don't know if you managed to learn all that during your internship, but I applaud you for wanting to learn. And I think over the years you would have realised that God's word certainly gives us a lot to think about, and Christian leaders do need to think deeply and reflect on God's word. Now, we have seen in you a desire and a willingness to do this, and I'm sure that you have a good foundation in place for the coming years. And we praise God that during that internship that you began a process of theological reflection and reading the Bible with a good mind that I know continues to today. Over the next couple of years, Kieran completed his 2-year internship with us and began studying at Ridley College to get his Bachelor of Ministry. And in November 2004, Kieran preached at St Alfred's his first Sunday service sermon. And again, he may not remember this, but his passage was Joshua 24, that great passage at the end of the book of Joshua, where Joshua calls the people of Israel to decide who are they going to follow. It's a sort of, are you for us or against us type of setting. And Joshua includes the famous line, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And Kieran preached on that, and he picked up that challenge for people to serve God wholeheartedly, not to be two-minded about it, but to be fully committed to serving the Lord. And Kieran really applied that to the congregation. And I think as we've watched Kieran serve here over the years, we've seen a young man who's tried to serve God wholeheartedly himself. Now, after Reverend Andrew Harper left to take a leadership role in another church, Kieran applied to become the part-time youth minister at St Alfred's. And I commissioned Kieran in that role at the evening service of December 4, 2005, in order to get him going for 2006. And Kieran preached that night from Matthew 1 as it was Advent and we were getting ready for Christmas. Now, for those of you who know a little bit of the history of youth ministry at St Alfred's, you might know that we also at one stage had a youth board, which was a group of parents or people interested to assist the youth minister in the activities of the youth ministry. And that night, just for interest, we commissioned a youth board that included Don Burrows, David Burt, who's here tonight on the tech desk, Grant Kirby, Jane Lober, Margaret Moores and Mavis Payne. So thus began Kieran's role as a youth minister that went from part-time in 2006 to 0.8-time in 2008 and then full-time in 2009. The role grew with Kieran, and I would say that Kieran grew with the role. The move to full-time meant not only was Kieran able to give more time and dedication to youth ministry, but also to give some leadership to this evening congregation through preaching and service leading and music leading and being on the evening congregation leadership team in 2009 with Weihan, Helen Petering and myself. Now, one of the things that's been most noticeable about Kieran's leadership is his ability to build teams. I'm sure that Kieran would acknowledge that the great work that's been done among teenagers here could not have been done without a great team of youth leaders each year. But it's a relentless task, constantly looking for team, building team, and then trying to fill the gaps as those team members then move on to other things. I'm sure that many of the volunteer leaders have grown in their leadership and understanding of God and ministry through Kieran's leadership, and there's opportunity to show that later on in the service. I'm also sure that Kieran has grown as a leader by having to lead and train and organise and pastor these teams over the years. As a sign of Kieran's commitment to team leadership, he gave me a present of a book last year which was called, or is called, Sticky Teams by Larry Osborne, which is all about building teams that stick together and work together and stay together. That is, until they get a better offer from another church. No, not true. Kieran, you've done a great job building teams here, and I've no doubt that you'll continue to do this at St Hilary's. You not only understand the theology of team ministry and are committed to it, but you have the patience and the wisdom and the people skills to put it into practice. It's not an easy thing to do. It's something that a lot of people give tacit acceptance to or agreement to, but it's actually great to see somebody who can do it. And that's one of the hallmarks of your ministry, that you will leave behind a great team of youth leaders. I know many of you will be sad to lose Kieran, so to speak, but it's okay to be sad, but I want to say that it's also good tonight to be very thankful and grateful to God. And that's why tonight is called partly a Thanksgiving service. We can be thankful that Kieran has been among us for as long as he has worked as hard as he has, and has been as effective as he has in helping teenagers grow in their faith. That is not an easy thing to do, and we should be very grateful to God for Kieran's leadership in that area. We can be thankful that Kieran has not only survived personally, but has had a good and positive experience of Christian leadership in a supportive church, and is now ready in his late 20s to take on a bigger responsibility. Christian ministry is very demanding, and youth ministry in particular has a high burnout rate. Kieran is an exception to that, and we can be very grateful to God that he is leaving us, we hope, in good shape, ready to take on a bigger and new responsibility. We can also be very grateful to God and thankful that Ruth came into Kieran's life and has been able to help keep him on track and give him a good excuse to take holidays in Hawaii. How would Kieran have been able to justify that otherwise? We can also be thankful that as a church, we are able to raise up young leaders, train them, equip them, give them opportunity to serve, allow them to fail, allow them to grow, encourage them, endorse their authority, and then send them out with our blessing to the wider church. This is part of a church being committed to mission. We send people out. We've done that recently with Weihan, and now tonight we do that with Kieran. We can be grateful to God that our culture here at St Alfred's is so committed to mission that we can send out people with our blessing and with goodwill. And we can be thankful that God will raise up other leaders. God is faithful and will not leave us bereft. We will pray for new leaders, both staff and volunteers, and part of my job will be to keep us trusting God while we wait to see those prayers answered. Now, before I finish, I want to comment a little on the reading from 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 10. This is particularly, I've been thinking about Kieran as I was reading this and preparing this, but there'll be some resonances for all of us here tonight. Timothy, who is the recipient of the letter, is a young disciple who has worked with the Apostle Paul in his missionary work all around the Mediterranean. And Paul, at different times in his letters, describes Timothy as a son, as a brother, and as his co-worker. There's obviously a great bond of affection between Paul and Timothy. Kieran, you've been like that to many people here. You have been like a son to some of us, a brother to some of us, and certainly a co-worker in the gospel with many of us. And there will always be deep bonds of affection between us wherever you serve and wherever God takes each of us. And I want to remind you of a couple of things from what Paul says to Timothy here in verses 6 and 7. If you've got your Bibles, just have a look at verse 6. He says to Timothy, "Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, it's not totally clear here what Paul means, but I think with the reference to laying on of hands, we're probably meant to see that Timothy has been recognized as by other leaders as someone who has the gift of Christian leadership, and they've laid hands on him and set him aside for that role of Christian leadership. God has gifted him to be a Christian leader, or as John Stott describes the gift, the gift that Timothy has is to be a minister of Christ. It is this gift that Paul encourages the young Timothy to fan into flame, a gift of Christian leadership. Now, Kieran, we recognise that God has also gifted you for Christian leadership, and we encourage you to grow this gift and to grow as a Christian leader so that, like Paul and Timothy, you can lead others to faith in Christ and build up God's church. I know that Kieran is taking steps to do this by accepting this new challenging role, by participating in a leadership training type of thing called Arrow Leadership, and by even contemplating, and more than contemplating, ordination in the Anglican Church. I encourage you, Kieran, as a young man, to keep thinking about how to keep going in Christian leadership so that you're still in the business when you are old and grey-haired, like some around St. Alfred's. We want to see you have a long and fruitful ministry. So fan that flame that God has given you. But you don't do this in your own strength, as none of us do this in our own strength. We don't serve God by our own gifting alone. You're only able to fan this gift of Christian leadership into flame with the help of God's Spirit. And that's what comes in verse 7. Just have a look at verse 7. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." There's some debate as to whether the word spirit should have a capital S there. It probably should, at least in the second half of the statement. Now, we believe Timothy might have been a very shy, retiring type of person, not unlike Kieran. He's also young. And it may be that he was tempted to step back from this leadership role that others had seen in him and prayed about for him. It may be that he was feeling particularly unable to serve at that time in his life when Paul was writing to him. We're not quite sure. He may have been feeling timid or cowardly. But Paul reassures him that God has not put a spirit of timidity in him. Christian leaders may adopt the sort of mindset of servant leadership, but that attitude of being a servant leader does require courage and intentionality. You don't have to be sort of a wimp to be that sort of leader. So if God is calling you to be a leader, any of you, then you are to lead, not to run away from it like a Jonah. If God has a job for you, he wants you to do it, and he will equip you to do it with his Spirit. And that's what the rest of verse 7 says. So, fan this gift into flame, for God has not given you a spirit of timidity. On the contrary, he's given you a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Let's just look at those three words briefly. Since he is the Spirit of power, he will enable you as you lead. He will give you his powerful Spirit. He will empower you to lead. You are not leading out of your own strength. because your own strength runs out. But it's also a spirit of love. God wants Christian leaders to love God's people and not harm them. And we can only love God's people with God's help. I'll let you in on a secret here. Those of the staff who are on staff at St. Alfred's need God's spirit of love, because despite you all being very lovely people, it actually takes its toll on you being a staff member. And you do need God to re-energize that loving attitude week in and week out so that you can front up yet again and try and be God's person as everyone comes to church. So, Kieran, you are not going to be doing this by your own strength. God has given you his spirit of love to help you. And God's spirit is a spirit of self-discipline, which implies self-control or restraint. And I think what that means is that God's spirit helps us to exercise our leadership with appropriate restraint so we don't abuse the power, that first word, and we certainly don't abuse the authority and the role that he gives us as leaders. So, get on and be the Christian leader God has gifted you to be. We're sending you out to do it. Go and do it. And do this knowing that God has called you into this role and he, by his Spirit, will empower you. He'll help you to love the people of that other suburb and he'll help you to be appropriately self-controlled, as he's helping me to be appropriately self-controlled. There are many other things Paul says to Timothy, not least of which is to keep preaching the gospel and be prepared to suffer for the gospel. But I want to stop here. Kieran, on behalf of all of us at St. Alfred's, I want to thank you for listening to God all those years ago when something started stirring in you that led you to be crazy enough to apply to be an intern here at St. Alfred's. I want to thank God for you for being a good learner in those 2 years of your internship, during your formal studies at Ridley, and over the many years of service here. I want to thank God that you've been a faithful leader since becoming our youth minister and allowing God's Spirit to empower you and direct you and encourage you to point people to Jesus. Kieran, I want you to know that you go with my blessing and the blessing of all of us here at St. Alfred's. We look forward to how God will continue to use you in ministry, and we look forward to seeing how you grow. We pray that you won't fall into the trap of relying on your own strength, which will run out, or on your own giftedness, no matter how marked that is. But we pray that you'll continue to trust God and rely on his Spirit. We thank you for all you've done at St. Alfred's and for all the people you've helped grow in their love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We want to bless you in this next step of your ministry life. So,
I want to say to the youth leaders, past and present, you guys are just the most encouraging group of people. Like, if Kieran was doing this job on his own, I wouldn't really probably enjoy coming home to talk to him about his day. I mean, you guys just make it. You're so creative and fun and such a heart for God and prayer and Bible studies and all that stuff. And it's just so wonderful to see the friendship and the bonds that have come through all that. There's probably other people I could thank, like Bev and Helen, two people who you spoke tonight, but you know, you guys have both been around for a long time. But I suppose the last thing I just wanted to say is thanks for all your kind words to us and to Kieran. Like, it's been lovely hearing you all just saying such wonderful stuff about Kieran, because I mean, that's the guy I fell in love with, and I agree with you. He makes me laugh, he teaches me so much, he's grown me heaps, he prays for me lots, you know, best friend, buddy, yeah. So I appreciate all your sending off and all your kind words.
Yeah, a few things. Thank you, firstly, that tonight, just I said to Ruth in relation to, well, last night we met with the youth leaders, same thing tonight, I wish I could just like wrap everything up in a box and take it with me, all of the kind words and affirmation, blown away. And yeah, blessed tonight. Thank you so much for those who did speak and also for those who maybe didn't get the chance as well. Two responses to some of the things that I heard said, and there were many amazing good things said, too many to comment on. I guess one is I do love Jesus. I love him with all my heart, and he's glorious and he's gracious and he's saved me and rescued me, and I'm grateful that that's evident at least a little bit. But I love him because he first loved me, and and I love his word too. He's done that in me. That's a miracle. Both loving him and loving his word is a miracle that he's performed in my heart. He's turned my heart from other things and shown me the glory and majesty and beauty of and how precious and worthy he is. And I've been helped in this context. It's been in this context where I've learned that, and under Peter's preaching and under the ministry here as well. The other thing I just thought of, God has graciously given me gifts to use, and I get great joy from using the gifts that He's given me, and a buzz out of some of those things. Somewhere in 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Why do you boast as though those things are you?" That those gifts are your own. I gave them to you. Why would you boast as if they're yours and they bring glory to you? Those are mine. That's something I thought of with what something said. Like God's the giver of all gifts and all goodness, and all glory be and all glory goes to Him. So I hope I'm glad that that's been evidenced at least a small part in my ministry. I thank some people at the youth leaders and youth night a few weeks ago, but I want to thank two other people or groups of people. Firstly, the staff and Peter. Thank you so much for your friendship, for your leadership, for your ministry to me personally, your prayer and support, your encouragement and training in things like preaching. You have been a father to me, have been a spiritual father to me, and it's your prayerfulness as well, and some of my most cherished times have just been prayer at staff, and you've modeled that and you've led the way in that. Your wisdom is something that I really think I've gained from in terms of things like just not going to extremes in directions, but being balanced, and that's something I've really gained from you. The other person to thank is Ruth. Ruth, thank you. I'm really glad that you're a good listener. That's one thing, because I do like to talk. But you really do actually genuinely enjoy listening, and I'd probably be talking to a wall for a lot of time if you weren't a good listener, because I do a lot of talking, and you affirm me and value what I have to say and things like that, and that's a real ministry to me, and also you being a helper. Ruth has been an amazing helper. Ministry can get me down sometimes, or the pressure sometimes, you know, it ebbs and flows in terms of pressure and things, and sometimes I kind of drop the ball at home or need help with things like the dishes and the cooking and things like that, and you just blow me away with how willing and quick you are to serve and to help and to pick up the slack and look after me. And the other thing is your example. Just the example that you've set. You've been doing medicine, and that's busy, and that's taken up so many things, but you've worked so hard to be involved and to be supportive and to be engaged with people, and I know that you've been a wonderful example to particularly lots of young women here. So, yeah, I want to thank you and honour you for your love and support. That's it.
So one of the greatest things that Kieran taught us is how to make ourselves look like idiots in front of a crowd. So we thought in the spirit of that, we'd do that for Kieran one last time. And some of you might have seen this already the other week, but pretend that you haven't and clap and sing and laugh. Otherwise, we'll just feel really terrible. So hit it, Craig.
Kieran, don't go, you just don't know how much wisdom and guidance you show. But now you're gone, it's a new dawn. It's gonna be really hard to move on. Everyone else in the room can see it, everyone else but you. Kieran, you light up our lives like nobody else. The way that you gel your hair gets us overwhelmed. And when you preach from the Bible, you do it so well. We all know, we all know you're beautiful. If only you saw what we could see, you'd understand why we'll miss you so desperately. Right now we're looking at you as you come to leave. We all know, we all know you're beautiful. Jesus makes you beautiful. Kieran, my dear, we love to hear when you recommend books of the year. And we all love your hobo gloves and your dancing skills are gifts from above. Everyone else in the room can see it, everyone else but you. Kieran, you light up our lives like nobody else. The way that you gel your hair gets us overwhelmed. And when you preach from the Bible, you do it so well. We all know, we all know you're beautiful. If only you saw what we could see, you'd understand why we'll miss you so desperately. Right now we're looking at you and you come to me. We all know, we all know you're beautiful. That's what makes you beautiful. Na 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 na. We're sorry we never came to Pilates class. We'll miss your pad thai and curry and lemongrass. And all your Zoolander quotes now are in the past. We all know, Kieran, you light up our lives like nobody else. The way that you gel your hair gets us overwhelmed. And when you preach from the Bible, you do it so well. We all know, we all know you're beautiful. So what we could see, you'd understand why we'll miss you so desperately. Right now we're looking at you as you come to me. We all know, we all know you're beautiful. We all know you're beautiful. Jesus makes you beautiful.
I don't think we can get another encore out of them. So, have a good week.